Today, I'm rocking the suburbs.
ティム・ホフマンとの素晴らしい音楽体験、パート2。
Welcome back to Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Patrick Foster on behalf of Jim Linehan, my co-host, and today's patron guest and good friend Tim Hoffman. I want to welcome you to Rockin' the Suburbs. This is part two of the great music experience with Tim Hoffman. If you didn't listen yesterday, please go back and catch the beginning of this because it's such a wild, once-in-a-lifetime event that Tim attended. It's pretty amazing, and there's not anything really like it that I'm aware of in music history. Pretty incredible. The only time or the first time ever, I guess, Dylan ever played with a symphony orchestra took place at this concert in 1994. So let's not waste any time. Let's jump right back in and hear the rest of this story. We're going to talk a little bit more with Tim Hoffman. I got the tape player queued up, and we're going to hear a question I asked him right off the bat. So here we go. The Great Music Experience, Part 2. Tim, I got to ask you this.
Sure.
As soon as I started watching the YouTube video you sent, and of course that's multi-camera,
yep,
you know, shots and all that. Where were you sitting, yep, and how was the seating arranged and the stage at this, you know, ancient building?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it in the, I mean, because I had been to Todaiji Temple several times before this concert. Like, it's one of those places, like, when I first moved to Japan, like, the first chance I get, I'm going to Kyoto. First chance I get, I'm going to go to Osaka. And first chance I get, I'm going to go to Nara. Because Nara used to be at one time, it was the capital of the country. It was the emperor was there. It wasn't for a very long time, but for a while there, Nara was the seat. It was where the emperor was, and it was the capital of the country. And I'm talking like 1,300 years ago.
All right. Yeah.
But when you go to Todaiji Temple, just entering the gardens and the entrances and the gates and everything, it takes, you know, by the time you get to the front gate of the temple, it probably takes half an hour to get to the temple itself.
Wow.
This is a huge gate within gate within gate. But right in front of the temple, which is pretty typical for a Buddhist temple, there's a censer, like an incense censer type thing, where you'll light some incense and put it with the others and kind of like waft the incense smoke over you to kind of purify you before you head up the steps to the temple and whatnot. They basically built the stage around that thing. This thing's this big, like, incense burner, you know, thing that's not going anywhere. You're not taking that thing apart. You're not removing it. So you could see the stage is like kind of slanted a little bit, and there's this big kind of semicircle built around that incense censer. And there's a plexiglass or kind of glass roof over the band. Where we were sitting, we were probably, you know, like a third of the way back from the stage. A very good view. The sound was great. You know, it was one of those, like, you could hear everything. They had spent a lot of time just making sure that the sound system was good. There's, you know, with all of the months and months of preparation and negotiations and getting all these artists here and all the rehearsals, you know, they weren't going to, you know, drop the ball there in the last minute with a crappy sound system. So it sounded really, really good. It was a big stage. So, like, there's a lot of people moving around on stage because there are, you know, the cameras that are set on stands moving left and right up on the floor in front of the stage. And then you had several people with, like, shoulder-mounted cameras running around. So it was like, this is a very active stage, you know. There's even a puppeteer up there at one point running around with, like a little interpretive puppet show during one of the percussion songs, one of the more, like, percussion centric pieces that they're performing. So it was just one of those really neat things. The artist for me, like, like, Joni Mitchell was great. Having Wayne Shorter perform with her was great. INXS was really, really good. And, you know, they had the orchestra or the Japanese traditional orchestra playing along with them. Bob Dylan was great with, you know, the orchestra backing, like I said. But there were, I would have to say that one of the musicians that really stood out to me, and I'll send you a link to the this other YouTube video, because the one I sent you did not have this performance. And it was this Japanese musician whose name is Hotei Tomoyasu. And he is a guitarist. He used to be in a band way back in the 80s, early 90s, called Bowie, with a different spelling. I forget how it's spelled. But he's probably most famous for Westerners as the musician who did the soundtrack for the Kill Bill movies.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Nice, nice, yeah.
So that music in there, and he's a electric guitar god. You know, he's like one of these guys. He's just really, really good. It's kind of like somewhere between, you know, Adrian Belew and Eddie Van Halen or something like. But he's on stage in several songs playing along with Joni Mitchell. She, right around this time, she put out, I can't remember the album, but there was a song that she wrote called Sex Kills. And he does the electric guitar along with that. He's playing along with NXS on one song. He's like this guy who's just like a kid. Like, I got to get up there with everyone. Like,
yeah. I'm gonna jump on stage.
You can see how much fun he's having. But he comes out toward the end of the show, and he does his own, some of his own stuff. And like, I remember when he came out, I was just like, wow, this guy's cool. He comes out and he's like, hello to the world. This is his like intro on stage on the mic. And all of a sudden he like this funny. He's like, hello to the world. Tonight the Buddha's spirit and my spirit and your spirit become together as one now.
Wow.
And it was really cool. And then he played one of his more famous solo songs that is called Fly Into Your Dream. And I had never heard the song before. But it's one of these songs that's like slow, slow, slow. It's got a slow little bridge. And you're like, oh, this is a nice, quiet song. And then as the bridge is ending, he's just like lifts his foot up. And when he brings the foot down, like everyone on stage along with him just kicks off a guitar solo that got the hairs on the back of my neck and arms just like, wow.
Wow.
It was one of those, you can see he's just like, you know, it went on and on. This guitar solo is probably like 2 minutes long, something like that. And after that show, I was like, what in the hell did I just see? That's probably like... It's a really moving, for me, like, it's one of those, like, that guitar solo just, like, blew my mind. And it's not a complicated, it's like, you know, three chords, and he's just going around and around and around. But the way he played it, the spirit he brought to it, and just like, you could see how much fun everyone on stage was having, including, you know, Ray Cooper, who's center stage up, you know, center stage in the back, banging the crap out of this, like, 6 foot, 7 foot big gong. Just like, you know, as this guitar solo is going on and on. And then it's just one of those experiences that you just wish it would never end. And
right.
And Hote has, you know, gone on. He's still active. He's still putting out music. He's just a really, really interesting person who has kind of played with everyone, man. He's done stuff. Later, I found out that he, you know, continued collaboration. And that's one thing that I think this show really proved to me, was like, a lot of these musicians continued to kind of get together. I know that the Chieftains and Joni Mitchell got together later and recorded one of her songs called the, I think called the Magdalena Laundry. You know, Ry Cooder continued to, you know, record with some of these musicians that he worked with. Hote continued to collaborate with some of the people that he worked with here at this Great Music Experience concert. So, I mean, this was not the end. Like, when the show was over, it wasn't like everyone, like, split up. I think, you know, friendships that are made in music can last forever, and you can, you know, something that you've done together on stage in this year, you get together a few years later, and like,
yeah,
if you're thinking of, you know, like, hey, I want someone to record this with, how about, you know, my friend Hote, who I played with, you know. So a lot of these collaborations and friendships, I imagine, just continued and still continue on it over time. So that's, to me, what, like, one of the great takeaways from a music festival like this, because this felt very different to me from other music festivals that I've been to, where it's like, this band separate from this band separate from this band.
Right, right.
These, everything was all mixed together beautifully, and so that was nice.
That's amazing. Now, let me just share a really quick story with you, Tim.
Sure.
On a much smaller scale, but a similar sort of effect. About, I think it was now like 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. We took a family trip to Tokyo, okay? And we got into Tokyo, I want to say it was like midday. We got there, and we checked into the hotel, and it was probably late afternoon, early evening. Across the street from the... We didn't really have any plans for the day we got in, right? Just like, whatever, you know?
Get over jet lag.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. And in fact, I think my wife, you know, went to like take a nap or something. But the kids and I, we were so excited and everything. So we walk... Literally across the street from the hotel, we could hear like some music stuff going on, right? So we walk across, and there was a temple there in the big temple grounds. They were having some kind of like community festival or something like that, right? And it was literally, and it was just, you just walk on. It was like, you know, there was no admission charge or anything like that. You just walk on, but there were like these booths with like arts and crafts and food and all this kind of stuff. And then on the temple steps, right there was like a band playing. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And it was like, and people just, you know, stand around watching everything.
What
and,
month of the year was that?
It was
that
so
visit?
Cool. That's what I'm trying to remember, what year we actually went. I want to say it was.
Was it in the summertime?
Yes, it was in the summertime.
Like August or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Because, yes. Every summer, I mean, August is a time there, it's called Obon. Obon is like a... annual time when all festivals are held at temples and people come together, and it's a big community thing, and a lot of dancing and music. Yes. And live stuff like that. So yeah, it's a Bonodori is like those like traditional festival dances.
But what a great way to start your trip, right? You just land,
heck yeah.
And it's that's like awesome. You just happen upon this thing, right?
Free it was concert, yeah.
A lot of good food, a lot of good food, good music, yeah.
It was just amazing, yeah, so really cool. Okay, and then the last thing here before we go, Tim, sure. You mentioned this earlier, speaking of unique music experiences, you're going to be at Suburbs Fest Midwest in Chicago, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was just looking at my like tickets and hotel reservations. So if folks are interested in going, you know, check out the links here on the episode or for the website here. And come on out. There's going to be a lot of good people, a lot of good music. And like we've been talking about with this episode, a lot of collaboration. Looking forward to people just getting together on stage and having a good time.
I think so, yeah. So August 4, 5, and 6 in the Chicago area, go to suburbspod.com, click on Suburbs Fest. You can see the details there. Tim's going to be playing some songs the first night, I know.
Yeah, so, for sure.
You're not going to want to miss that. All right. Thanks very much, Tim Hoffman.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'll send you guys the link to the other video with the Hote song on it. You'll love it. Okay. It'll kill you.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, guys. I really wanted to talk about this for so long. Just as one of those concert experiences, like I said, like, was I really there? Did this really happen?
Right.
Whenever I get together with the people who I went to the concert with, that's like one of the first things we always. Like, man, can you believe that show? I don't know. I'm so glad one of us saw the ad in the paper for it and just be like, we got to go see this concert.
But, that's incredible.
Thank you for letting me come and share that with everyone.
That is great. Okay. All right. If anybody out there has any like world-class, unique concert-going experiences, right? Something on this level, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Please.
You can call and leave a message at 612-440-1984. There you go. Or you can email us or send a voice memo if you want to this email address, rock@suburbspod.com, or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at suburbspod. All right. Thanks very much, Tim. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Tim Hoffman. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Jim and Patrick.
All right. We'll talk to you all
later. Thank you, man.
Later.
Guitar solo that got the hairs on the back of my neck and arms just like, wow.